I'd like to call this meeting to order, please. It is 7:36. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 10th, 2013, faxing to three newspapers designated by the Board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and Express Times, posting on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration office, and in each Clinton Township school, and faxing to the clerk of the Clinton Township. I'd like to take a roll call on presence, please. Mr. Freda?
Present.
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. Hand?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
And Mrs. Varama?
Here.
Will you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the annual reorganization meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education, the combined statement of results from the annual election are as follows. Mrs. Varama with 1,255 votes for a one-year unexpired term. Mrs. Hand with 1,673 votes for a three-year full term. Mr. Petuto with 1,584 votes for a three-year full term. And Mr. Sturgis with 1,599 votes for a three-year full term. Would the four of you please rise so that I can accept the oath of office? If you would please repeat after me. The right. I, and state your name.
I, Gina Hand.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
I, and state your name.
I, Gina Hand.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I possess the qualifications prescribed by law.
That I possess the qualifications prescribed by law.
For the office of Member of Board of Education.
For the office of Member of Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially and justly perform.
Impartially and justly perform.
All the duties of that office.
All the duties of that office.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations, thank you.
I'd like to veer from the agenda for a moment before we move on, because we would like to take a moment to acknowledge Mr. John Higgins. Mr. Higgins, would you please come up?
Do I dare come all the way up?
We still have an empty chair.
I just want to make sure that I thank you as superintendent. You did a fabulous job on many committees, and you really, you made a strong contribution. And although I already love our new board members, I feel badly that we're losing you. And I hope you come to meetings and volunteer to help us on all kinds of odd things that we're doing, and stay part of the Clinton Township Board of Education. And I know that Mr. Sturgis wanted to say something.
You guys can make me blush.
John, we were just very glad to have you with us.
You made a big impact on the board. You were a good influence on the board, and the experiences that you brought as a citizen from the planning board, they were helpful. So I learned from you in your time on, which was only a year, and you were on a one-year term. I wouldn't complain about the three-year term, but we were just happy to have you here.
Well,
and
thank you.
We appreciate it, so thank you very much.
Thank you, and let me step back here so I can sort of address the rest of the board. Certainly my pleasure for the last year, and particularly for the new board members, you know, I think from Firewoods for a little bit, the accounting for the school systems, God love you. I don't know how to do it. It bears no resemblance to corporate accounting. These facilities are somewhat, you know, similar. There's a vague resemblance. And just a terrific bunch of people that you'll be working with. Very, very forward, terrific superintendent, and Drew's generated all kinds of good relationships, which really, you know, it counts for so much meeting any large organization, setting a great example in terms of leadership skills and dedication to the work. And of course, Heather, the same way. I mean, my goodness, you have to chase her home at 10 o'clock at night. Half the time, at least. And again, I think this board has come at the school system in terms of leadership, and the board has come such a great distance from, say, just a year and a half ago. Kevin, the same way, you have that nice, calm manner. You don't get too off kilter. I don't see our attorney here tonight, for instance. Which
no,
is
no, our attorney is not here.
Sorry.
Contracts, negotiations, and finance in the school system. And just as a last comment, you know, we have an offer on the table with the teachers, and it was the subject or the result of a long, I think, very, nicely done set of negotiations. In my view, for what it's worth, you have to judge for yourselves, but in my view, I think the offer is a very good one. You know, one that was negotiated in a good way in this state. I hope it proceeds to, you know, ratification, perhaps after some, you know, additional discussion. But that started in, when did we start?
February.
So it went on quite some time, and but not the 2.5 years that the previous contract had been negotiated. So my fervent hope is that it does come to a good conclusion in a timely way. It results in a good situation for the board as well as the teachers. With that, I'll shut up.
Well,
oh, isn't that nice?
We have to give you our Red Schoolhouse. So, and your name, Carl. We will. Thank you
so much.
Wait, you have a name tag, Mrs. Verderon.
Oh, I do. You are correct.
If the holder is the holder.
Your picture should be on it.
Please pardon me. I have to run off to the town council reorganization. Have a discussion.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to open the floor for nominations for a board president for the Clinton Township Board of Education. On your agenda, it does say that this motion needs to be seconded. Per our policy, it does not. So I'd like to ask for nominations for the office of board president.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Kevin Sturgis, once again, serve as board president. I think the past year he's done an admirable job. He's led this board in a steady fashion. He's given us a much better positive camaraderie than his past predecessor. And I think he deserves another opportunity. He's proven himself. He's been here 1 year. And 1 year is really a learning curve. At least 2 years, he's looking for probably one more year. And I think it's reasonable and practical. And I can't logically think of why we wouldn't, as a board, want to have him serve as board president once again. There's no logical reason to have him not continue. has done a great job, a fine job. We're not a perfect board, but we're better. We're communicating better. Our continuity is a little better. Again, from what we came from the past year and a half, like we just heard, we've come a long way, and Mr. Sturgis plays a big part of that. So quite frankly, I don't know why we wouldn't make a switch, if at all. Unless we're here for egos and power plays, I'm not sure why we would do this. Thank you.
Any other nominations?
I would like to nominate Maria Brandt.
Any other nominations? Okay, we'd like to close the floor for nominations for the office of board president. I will take a roll call vote.
Do you need a motion?
Do you need a second on those nominations?
No.
We don't need a second.
No. Do you need a motion to close the floor?
I should have done a motion to open the floor as well. Mm-hmm. I apologize. Should we just go back? May I just have a motion for nominations to open the floor?
Second.
We don't need a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We've opened the floor. Mr. Freda has nominated Mr. Sturgis. Mrs. Verderamo has nominated Mrs. Grant. Any others? I'd like a motion to close the floor.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The floor is closed. I will do a roll call vote. If you would please state your choice for board president on the roll call.
How does this normally do each person? You don't have to. You can do it. We looked at the board policy. You can do it either way. So you can do it so that you can just do one vote and each person names who they want to vote for.
Okay, but it still memorializes for the record.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
By name.
Absolutely. Because you just say the name that you want.
One for clarification. Thank you.
And then the majority will receive the nomination.
Yes,
Mr. Freda?
I exercise a yes vote for Mrs. Sturgis.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes for Maria Grant.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes for Maria Grant.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes for Kevin Sturgis.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes for Maria Grant.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes for Maria Grant.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes for Maria Grant.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes for myself.
And Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes for Maria Grant.
Mrs. Grant has been nominated as board president with a 6-3 vote. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby appoints Maria Grant as the board president. Congratulations. Mrs. Grant will now take the chair.
Okay, good evening. Moving on, I'm seeking any and all nominations for the Vice President of the Board for the Clinton Township Board of Education. The floor is now open for nominations.
Motion
to open the floor, please.
So moved.
Second, please.
We don't need a second.
Sorry. Okay. I'd like to nominate Rachel McLaughlin.
We have to vote on the motion first. Sorry.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? The floor is open.
I'd like to nominate Rachel McLaughlin.
I'd like to nominate Kevin Sturgis.
Any more nominations? Have a motion to close the floor?
Motion.
Second?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
One abstention.
Again, I will do a roll call vote, if you would please. There's only one nomination, or is there two?
There's one since he declined.
Okay. We'll do a roll call vote, please. And if you would state your choice by name. Mrs. Verderamo?
Rachel McLaughlin.
Mr. Freda?
I want to make a comment before I cast my vote.
Okay.
Regarding this nomination...
One second, I'm sorry. I think once we close that, we can't make comments. Is that the way it's done in the past?
I mean, comment with his vote.
Right, I'm going to comment with my vote. Regarding this nomination, I'm philosophically and fundamentally opposed to any member of a Board of Education who's also an NJEA member to serve in any officer capacity on a Board of Education. Not only can it be controversial, but to me it's a conflict, plain and simple. I cast a no vote.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes, for Rachel McLaughlin.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes, for Rachel McLaughlin.
Mr. Malloy?
I will respectfully abstain.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes, to myself.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes, for Rachel McLaughlin.
Mr. Pizzuto?
Yes, for Rachel McLaughlin.
And Mr. Sturgis?
No.
With a 6-3 vote, Mrs. McLaughlin is nominated as Board Vice President. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby appoints Rachel McLaughlin as Board Vice President. Congratulations.
Excuse me, I would just like to make a comment,
sure.
Madam President. I just want to clarify that I did check with the board attorney, Mr. Freda, and I just want to make sure I clarify that according to regs, it is perfectly allowable and within the regulations to have an NJEA member as the any officer of the Board of Education. So that is not an issue.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure that you understood that it was okay and...
Absolutely. Further clarification, okay. I said it was a philosophical and fundamental belief.
Okay.
It was strictly a philosophical and fundamental belief. I'm well aware. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Clinton Township Board of Education's reorganization meeting. I would like to thank all of you who have braved the cold weather tonight to be here with us, and I'd like to thank those of you who are listening to our recorded audio from a very much warmer place than it is here, probably under a nice little blanket and maybe some hot chocolate. So I'd like to welcome all of you. And before I go any further, I would like to say that I'm very eager to serve as board president for the next 12 months. This Board of Education, in my opinion, is made up of a group of outstanding people who are very, very talented, who are very passionate about education, and very passionate about doing what's right for the children in Clinton Township. Each individual member of this Board of Education brings a wonderful background, a unique skill set of experiences that will help enhance the effectiveness of how this board will operate over the course of the next 12 months. I know that the board members are anxious to work and support Dr. Clark and Ms. Spitzer as they continue to move this district into a better place and into a good direction. Before I continue any further, I'd like to thank Mr. Kevin Sturgis for serving as board president for the last 12 months. He did a good job in leading this board, and I'd like to thank you for all your time and effort that you put into leading the presidency of this Board of Education. I'd also like to take a moment to welcome our three new board members to the Clinton Township Board of Education. I'd like to welcome Ms. Gina Hand to the board. I'd like to welcome Mr. John Pizzuto to the Board of Education. And although Megan served for 4 months with us, she's still kind of new. So I'd like to welcome Ms. Verderamo, fresh out of an election as well. I'd like to introduce and welcome back the veteran members of our board who have been here for a while. I'd like to welcome back Mr. Freda, Mr. Malloy, Mrs. McLaughlin, and Mr. Sturgis. It's nice to see you guys back for yet another year. I just have a couple things with board business. Oh, wait a minute. You know, my kids deleted your name. I apologize, Dan. No, actually, your name is here, and I apologize, Dan. I just have a couple items on board business, and then we'll go on with the agenda. I'd first like to ask Mr. Malloy if he would be the process guardian for this evening. And in a little while, Mrs. McLaughlin will go over for the edification of our new board members of what the process guardian is and what it's all relative to for the Board of Education. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about board committees right now and then discuss a little bit how I selected board committees. I spoke with each individual board member and asked them what their interests were. We have four committees: a Facilities and Finance Committee, Communications Committee, Personnel Negotiations Committee, and a Policy and Curriculum Committee. After I spoke with board members, I then sat and, I actually was on the phone, and talked to committee chair people and asked them what their opinions were. We really talked about individuals who would serve on these boards based on their skill set and experience so that we could maximize the effectiveness of each committee. So here are the committee assignments that I have and I would like to announce. First, policy and curriculum. Rachel McLaughlin, I've asked Ms. McLaughlin to chair this particular committee again. She took it over last year and has done an outstanding job. Ms. McLaughlin's background in education plus her certification in administration all the way up as high as superintendency and passion to improving education for the children of our district will help her lead this group for yet another year. I've also asked Ms. Gina Hand and Megan Verramo, also educators, to serve on this committee. And I think it's a wonderful thing to have three educators on this committee, because with all of the changes that are happening in education right now, with all the changes in the core common curricula and the unfunded mandates, they bring a lot to the plate. I'd also like to have Mr. Sturgis participate on this group. He's very connected in the community, understands the curriculum and policy aspect in our district, and often brings very good information back from the classroom and what he sees into this committee. So that's the Policy and Curriculum Committee for the next 12 months. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Facilities and Finance Committee now in the makeup of that committee. Mr. Kevin Malloy, I've asked to be the chairperson of this committee, and he served last year in this role and did an outstanding job. And it's been a long time. I think he's just done a great job for us, so I'm glad that he's accepted the position to do for another year. Mr. Dan McTiernan is on the committee. He comes with a background in some facilities as well and budgeting. Mr. John Petuto, he's our new board member, so we thought we'd throw him right in the mix of this committee. John's done a lot of work on budgets and has some experience in facilities as well as technology too, so he'll be a huge asset to this particular committee. And then I will also serve here on the Facilities and Finance Group. Personnel Negotiations, Mr. Dan McTiernan. See, I didn't forget the second time. I only did it once. Mr. Dan McTiernan will serve as chairperson of this. Dan did an outstanding job again, like our other three chair people from last year, leading negotiations with a very high level of integrity and honesty. Dan's done negotiations for a variety of other large corporations in the United States, as well as being vice president of personnel and HR in multiple roles. So this is a perfect fit for him. We're lucky to have him. Mr. Kevin Malloy is also part of this committee. Kevin's also helped out and done a lot with negotiations in his private sector life, as well as HR roles and responsibilities. I'll also serve on this committee. And then as far as communications concerned, I picked people who I felt were very connected in the community, who are valuable in bringing to us information from the community on what's going on, what people are thinking on particular topics, so that we can get that brought back to us, and then we can decipher information back out to the public in a manner that that they can understand and we can answer all their questions. So I've asked Megan Verderamo to chair this. Megan's been a longtime resident of Herndon County and Clinton Township. And Rachel McLaughlin, Gina Hand, and Mark Freda. So that's the communications committee assignments for now. Yes, sir?
So sorry. Danny and myself. Who are the other two? PNN.
Myself?
I didn't tell you.
Myself, and then I'm checking on the availability of another individual, which I can't work with right now. I want to see if I can query the board quickly on a couple things relative to committees. In the past, we've always had committee meetings on Monday nights, and so everybody was able to try to slate their Monday nights free so that we can very easily, if we needed a meeting, have available. It was really your board night. It was your hot night out. Away from the kids. So what I'd like to suggest to the board and then get feedback on this is that, and I talked to Dr. Clark about this, is that the Monday before a board meeting, it would be a facilities and finance night, okay? 2 Mondays before the board meeting would be a policy and curriculum night. 3 Mondays before would be a personnel negotiations night. And then communications can be either the 4th one before, or we can pick another night, or try to do as much like we did last year through email and handle it that way. So I'd love to get your feedback on that and see if this works or if there's another way you want to handle it, because very often we're trying to see who can make it on what night, and I'd really like to be able to get all 4 members of the committee together at one time, and I'm thinking this might be a good way, but I'd love to get your feedback.
Mondays are fine by me. I'm afraid. Monday's good for me.
Okay. I think it's a great idea to try and set meetings well in advance, because it does sort of help sort of set your agenda ahead of time in terms of availability. As long as, speaking for myself and PNN and facilities, I'll speak for you too about that. The flexibility of work and travel as you do, and Kevin as you do as well. As long as I would ask if somebody can sort of maybe stand the next facility for me occasionally if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea in and of itself of trying to lock in a date 12 months in advance is undeniably good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll all, like Tyson said, play without the window the first time we get hit.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I think the plan makes sense.
Okay. So, any other comments? Sorry, Megan. We could try.
I mean, I'm attending. I mean, you have a meeting before. I've never attended one.
Or
what?
It wouldn't be before board meeting.
No, that's okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
No, it would be the Monday prior to the board meeting, and then we can work on, depending upon who's on what committee, and work commitments or child care commitments, we can decide whether it starts at 6 or 7 or 7:30. And work through it that way. And each individual committee, the chairperson can check in with their committee members and figure out the best start time for everybody. But does this seem to work?
If you'd like, I can ask Sherry to put together an entire calendar for you. I know that Kevin Sturgis has asked me if I could do that in the past, and we just kept changing dates, so it was hard to do. But I could map out an entire, the entire year based on our calendar. I can go back and put in each week and fill it in so that you know which Monday night ahead of time
mm-hmm.
is your committee. And so we can put that, and you can have a calendar ahead of time that you can mark out. Would that be helpful to
yep.
everyone?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
I would just add two, is it? For example, at PNN, even though we schedule the meetings or have 12 meetings in the schedule, we may not always meet on that date for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Examples being, I think we're in negotiations, but I'm not sure. And if we are, they're typically not going to happen on Monday, so we might have them on Tuesday or Thursday. And we have a variety of negotiations that are taking place there. Also, several months will not need to meet, because oftentimes, we keep in mind what PNN is supposed to do, is that we're really confirming that the administrative staff has done their job and followed policy and practice. And if they follow policy and practice, there's not always a lot to review. Mm-hmm. So we have to be, or we should be, or I'd recommend that we be just a tad flexible on those and confirm those meetings in, that those are the right dates, because Monday may not be the right date, for example, for the end.
That's fair.
And then, John, you and I be starting to get our finals and facilities. One of the things, too, is during certain times of the year, facilities and finance, PNN as well, I think, but and actually all the committees, I think, but will require more than a monthly meeting. For example, the dog just caught the bus, or we're in budget season. So what will happen at certain times is there'll be some more meetings. And I would, to yourself, to Gina, and to Megan, who's not had a committee meeting yet, I would tell you that this board, this district, our superintendent, our people, they really understand that family comes first.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you got that, I don't think anybody should beat themselves up or you know, have to make a decision that's too uncomfortable. You know, I had some work requirements and things that brought me into some advanced meetings on PNN. And Dan and I just made up time where we debrief, you know, if I missed the facilities, Kevin would give me time to debrief. So I think it's important to mention that nobody's going to, you know, ask you to put down something important to you, necessary, in order to these meetings. So this is a volunteer activity, and I'm grateful for you volunteering. I think it's important to know.
That's good input, too, because last year, the number of things we did on the PNN committee, but we had three-quarters of the committee able to meet during the day. In 2014, we don't have that luxury. So most of those meetings will have to take place in the evenings, and there are going to be times when people cannot get back from work or manage family, et cetera. And we should be making sure that the chair people are notifying anybody what's going on. But we've got to maintain that flexibility so that we can of the board and the committees. What?
Okay, the second thing I'd like to bring up relative to the committees is I often think about transitioning a committee when a group of people either leave the board or aren't available to committees for a variety of reasons. So what I would like to suggest and get your input on too is I would like to create a committee book so that all of our committee notes and committee meeting minutes, that's a mouthful, all get put in a book so that when chair people leave, the book is there, and it'll just have whatever the meeting minutes are, and if there are pertinent emails that can go in there, they should go in there so that the committees can transfer knowledge from committee to the next committee that serves. Is that something?
Fine.
Does that work?
Now that we take minutes,
we can do that. Okay. So I'll go back into. Yep, all my, I'll go into and try to put an idea for the books together. We have four outside board appointments that we can make from our board to represent outside organizations. The four are the following. One is the board liaison to the town council. Excuse me, the second one is the Huron County ESC representative. Huron County ESC is a school for children with special needs, and this position would have someone sit on their board. The second one is Huron County School Boards Organization, and that's just an organization of members from different boards of education in Huron County that meet every once in a while. We're working to get that calendar, and the NJSBA comes in and you know, highlights a specific topic, or they talk about what may be going on in their districts or important things going on in their board. The fourth one is on a state level, it's the representative to the NJSBA. That's more of a legislative type of organization. So I would like to see if there's anybody, I'm not going to appoint these this evening, but I'd like to see if there's anybody interested in any one of those four.
Okay.
I was the council liaison. I would like consideration to remain that.
Anyone else?
We do have more information. I'm just curious about the ESC one.
I work for the ESC. So if you need anything on that, let me know.
Okay.
It does meet. We've been looking for more information regarding this. I know they meet on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. I believe it's during the day.
No,
is it at night?
Yeah, they meet.
Oh, okay. I couldn't get a time and a list of dates. That would be great. That would be great if you could send me that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be super. And so it is a night meeting, but I know it's on Tuesdays. It's usually superintendents, but it's been very hard for me. And I know in the past we've had, because I also represent the district on the Morris Union Jury Chair Board. And so being on this board and being on another board as a board member, plus a third one would not be possible for me to do. So if I know that in the past board members have done this, so if anyone's interested, you know, just let me know or let Maria go know so we can get you more information. Are you interested?
I'd be interested. I would just like some more.
Okay.
I think your third one, the Clarendon County SBA, DOEs, that's one of these in Reddington?
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay.
I've been to that one, Dan, a couple of times. They have a board of ed. There's a president and a vice president, and it's pretty much other board members come and talk about issues going on in the county. How big are the boards of ed? And then NJSBA is more like, where is a legislative update? They might combine it with the training, talk about HIV legislation, market their negotiations.
You see the two organizations doing the same work?
They're similar, actually. And I've had NJSBA reps at the school board meeting. So there's some overlap there, but they're not the same.
So I'll get some more information out via email for each of these opportunities, and then the course over the course of the next 2 weeks, if you guys can get back to me if anybody's interested, and then I'll assign somebody and we'll put together a calendar and an agenda for people. Okay.
Madam President, you're going to continue to keep the four committees open that people may want to be interested in?
I'm sorry?
You're going to keep the four committees open, the four, I call them committees.
Oh, the outside appointments? Yeah. Yes.
You're going to keep that open until mm-hmm. when? See if there's any interest.
See, probably about 2 more weeks.
Okay.
And I'll announce it at the next board meeting.
Okay. Because sometimes, right now, nobody's saying that they're interested beyond, except one person for each.
Right. But I'm going to leave it open so people can consider it, and then mm-hmm. we'll readdress it at the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
The next thing I want to quickly review with everyone is something we're all responsible for, which is the School District Accountability Act. And basically, those are training requirements for all of the members of a school board. Every year of service, you're required to have completed some level of service. So the first year, they call the training course Governance 1, and it's standard governance. It gives you a complete background on everything you want to know about what you've just gotten yourself into. They offer it in two separate ways. One is a 5 or 6 hour course, I think, on a Saturday, and the other one is on an online one. And I spoke with Dr. Clark on it, and we both feel that the unfortunate thing is the 5 or 6 hour one is the better one to go to than the online one. But we're going to get you information on the dates that both are available, both the online as well as the in-person training. When you finish your first term or your second full year of service, you need to complete Governance 2, which is financial. It's basically all about budgeting. After you complete your next year of service, you have to complete training on student achievement. And then if you get reelected and you're in for a fourth year, You have to complete a course that provides a legal update, as well as anti-bullying, a Bill of Rights, and a variety of other things. I've spoken with Dr. Clark, and we're going to check and see where everybody is right now, provide you with what you need to do, and what those dates of availability are for you to get that done. If you don't get this done, I think they can actually remove you from the Board of Education. So when you do complete a course, let us know so that we can double-check and make sure everything goes through, because we don't want to miss anybody. Do you have something to say?
The board office will register you for the courses, so we will notify you of what courses you need to take, and we will register you for the courses. You don't need to do that for yourselves. You will just let us know what are the best times for you to attend. We'll register you, we'll remind you of the date, and once you go, the state will notify us that you attended.
I'd recommend that you give each board member the option of doing it online in one person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right, just want to make sure.
You still would need
register,
to.
You said when you attended, and you recommended in person.
Just for the first one.
But, okay.
I should have said when you, instead of when you attend, when you complete the course.
I think they offered online the first one too. They changed it.
Yes, they do now. Yes.
Okay, so we'll be in touch with more information.
Yes, I spoke to Tracy, and she's putting together, she's researching a list of all your options and going to be sending that out to you.
Great.
So you'll get a list from Tracy.
Thank you. The next item on my list here is setting a board goal session. We need to have board goals to identify and complete for this year. I'd like to seek some input from all the board members as to when you would like to do this, whether it be a Saturday morning or in evening during the week. And then after I get your feedback, what I'll do is go out and find a couple of dates. Dr. Clark and I will talk to our NGSPA rep, get some dates from her, and then put that to you in an email and let us know what dates work for you, and we'll finalize a date and work on some board goals and some other things we need to get done. So can I get some input on when the board members would like to have this meeting?
Is it not the first Saturday?
No, a Saturday.
A Saturday.
Oh, a Saturday. I'm sorry.
Early Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah,
just 6 a.m. just wondering.
I couldn't imagine anything before 9.
Oh, that early. Right? No, just kidding. yeah, Saturday's fine. During the only day of the week I'm not really free is Friday, so.
Anyone else?
Life.
Okay. Anyone?
I prefer evenings. Child care issues, yeah. Children run around.
I can't do evening, I can't do Thursdays.
Anyone?
I prefer evenings, but I'm away typically the third Wednesday and Thursday of the month.
Okay.
Thursdays would be out.
Yeah. John?
Evenings are better, but Saturday, any part of the
day. I'm sorry?
Any part of the day on Saturday would be fine. But otherwise, the evenings are better.
Okay.
I don't have a preference.
You don't care? Okay. I'll get back to you with some dates via email, and then if you could quickly look at your calendars and turn that around, then we'll solidify something, put together an agenda, send it out to you, and then we can get this accomplished. I would also like to talk about a new board member orientation, with the purpose of getting all of you acclimated to all of the bigger projects that the board's been working on over the course of the last year, and some of the initiatives that the state has put forth. So I'm talking like some projects we're working on, like evaluating whether we do full-day kindergarten or the demographic study, some terms and initiatives you may or may not be familiar with, like DX, school choice, merit pay, the budget, teacher evaluation process. those types of things. What I'll do is I'll work with Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer and the committee chair people. We'll just come up with some things that maybe the newer board members might want to know to help them get up to speed so that they can make a positive impact a whole lot sooner. I'll send a list out to you guys, and then you can let me know what you already know based on your backgrounds, and then what you don't know, and we can try to send out papers and documents relative to these topics or terms that will help you so you don't have to sit and see each other often, okay, and you can read it at your leisure. But there's things like the budget. It would be great if you could learn about last year's budget and how it was derived and all the different terms and the bucketology, as we call it. So we'll figure that out and put it together. But I wanted to give the new board members just a heads up that we're going to do that to try to help you get up to speed. And if there are any topics that the veteran board members want information on, just respond to that email as well. We'll make sure we get that out to you also. Let's see. Okay, at this point in time, I'd like to ask Ms. McLaughlin, the committee chairperson, for policy, and curriculum, to review the core values that we have for the Board of Education, again, for the edification process of the new board members so that they understand what those are for versus what the board ethics are, so there's no confusion.
One question. Mm-hmm. Should we approve the committees first?
We don't have a
move or a second on the floor to approve the committees.
Sure.
Yep. So we probably should have
okay.
Should do that first.
Okay. Do you want me to review the? Okay, so policy and curriculum, Rachel McLaughlin, chairperson, Gina Hand, Kevin Sturgis, and Megan Verderamo on the policy and curriculum committee. Facilities and finance, chairperson Kevin Malloy, Maria Grant, Dan McTiernan, John Petuto, members of that committee. Personnel negotiations, Dan McTiernan, chairperson, Maria Grant, Kevin Malloy, and communications, chairperson Megan Verderamo, Mark Freda, Gina Hand, and Rachel McLaughlin for communications. Can I have a motion to vote on these committees?
Then you're gonna, real quick, you're gonna add, you said you're gonna add one more. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll second.
Megan and Dan. Have a roll call vote, please.
We don't need to roll call it.
You don't need to roll call that.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Abstentions? All yes, motion carries.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, now.
Okay.
Next is public comment.
Ms. McLaughlin?
The new board members, tonight you're going to be signing a be signing a code of ethics that all board members in the state of New Jersey annually have to sign at this reorganization meeting. Code of ethics is designed to allow board members to participate freely, but understand what their role is as a board member. In addition to the code of ethics, our particular school board had a board retreat, and we decided that as a board, we wanted to put something stronger in place that really reflected what our values were. About conduct and about what we believe in for our education system. So we created bylaw 164.1, which I believe everybody has in front of them. And basically, we established a set of values around the ideas of respect, excellence, integrity, collaboration, learning, and flexibility. At each board meeting, we typically have assigned what we call a process guardian, and this is typically a person that just monitors the meeting to make sure that we're following through with our values, that we are respectful of our board members, that even if we have disagreements, we can have them cordially, and that if there is a decision that may be somewhat heated in discussion, that we continue to act in an appropriate manner. If you have any questions about the
any questions for Ms. McLaughlin? No? Okay. I just have one last item in my notes, and it's a question for Dr. Clark. We've had a really active winter so far. We've used a couple snow days, and we have had several delayed openings, and I know I'm getting questions, and you all are probably getting questions too. I was wondering if you could review how many snow days we have built into the calendar, and then if we exceed that, what the process is for making sure we meet the requirements for the total number of days of school that the children attend.
Certainly. We have four emergency closings built into our school calendar. Everyone thinks of them as snow closings, but I'd like to remind everyone that they can be used for other emergencies. I've had to close schools for boiler issues. I've had to close schools for fires. So there are all kinds of reasons that a school might need an emergency closing. So everyone thinks, oh, they're the winter closing days. However, they are for other reasons as well. We have four built into the calendar. We've used two. Early dismissals and delayed openings do not count as closings, all right, because you have a certain number of hours you have to meet each day for school, and if you meet those hours and a delayed opening and an early dismissal meet those hours, then they count as a school day. So we've used 2 days as of right now. There is an order in the calendar that explains how we do the makeup days. But it, you know, I can email this list to all of you so you can have it as a reference if people ask you. So I can easily do that. But I'm going to kind of go through it with you right now. If you use 5 days before January 15th, all right, which is coming up on us, we would have school on February 14th. Right, which is closed right now for Professional Development Day. All right, I don't anticipate using 5 days, but with this calendar and this school year and weather pattern, you never know. I take each day as it comes at 4 a.m. February 17th, if 6 days are used before January 31st, you would have school on February 17th, all right? The next thing you do is you add 3 days to the end of the calendar. So, we're closing June, I guess, is it 17th or 18th? We would add 3 days to the end of the school calendar that we have right now. So that's the next thing that you would do. After that, you go to taking away spring recess. And you start taking away days from the last day of spring recess, and you work backwards. All right, so you would start with April 25th, that Friday, and you'd work backwards, losing days. All right, and you'd have to end on the Tuesday. You couldn't take any further because I think you have Good Friday and Easter Monday, so you have to have those days closed. Then, and I'm telling you all of this so that, because this is a weird weather pattern. After that, you would then extend the school year, all right, to June 30th. So then you'd start adding days on there. That's a lot of days to get to that point, so it's unlikely, but that's the way the list would go. I will say to you that when making these decisions is not an easy process, and somehow this year it's been even more difficult. I've gotten into a rhythm of it over the years. This year has been very challenging for me to make these decisions. I don't make them lightly. I really think a lot of things through before I make them. Part of what I have to consider is I consider ice worries me a lot because snow, buses can get through a fair amount of snow, all right? Usually, you know, they can get through around 3 inches of snow. After that, it starts to get concerning. But ice worries me because ice is where you lose control. So part of my decision for this morning, all right, was the black ice conditions that we were worried about, and I didn't want the buses running black ice possibilities in the dark, because remember, we start our buses very early in the morning, and so my concern was that I'd be running buses on very icy roads in the dark, and having kids at bus stops in the dark with icy roads and concerns about buses and how they could veer off track. I also considered the fact that, you know, we haven't had temperatures this cold, and I talked to all our bus companies yesterday extensively about preparing for this. They were all very prepared. They had early morning mechanics on duty and ready in case there were any trouble starting the buses and engines because of the cold, so they were well prepared. However, as one of the bus companies said to me, we've never experienced this level of cold. It's been a long, long time. So we think we're prepared, but we're not sure. And I wanted to give us some extra lead time this morning so that if there was a problem really early, we could take care of it before the kids were impacted. I did consider the possibility of closing. It was a big discussion among all the superintendents in the county because of the wind chill factors. Frankly, I was concerned about what our criteria is going to be for frigid weather for the future. So I actually suggested that at our next roundtable, we have a discussion about this, to talk about it in the county with the county superintendent, because I'm expecting more issues like this coming up for the future. And I think we have to make some clear criteria about when you close and when you don't close. When is it really dangerous for kids and when isn't it? So that's the kind of thing I consider. I always talk to other superintendents in the area. I review the weather maps. I know more about weather maps than I ever want to know. And I spend a lot of time listening to weather reports and going to different sites to try and coordinate what the best decision to make is for the safety of the kids and the safety of the staff, because we have staff that often travels a distance, and I have to consider their safety as well. So part of what I considered on the last Thursday early dismissal was that the reports were that we would have snow late in the day, and we have buses. You have to remember, we have buses on the road because we have two late schools. Those buses are on the road still at sometimes 4:30 in the afternoon. And if there's any snow or delay that backs up traffic anywhere in town, those buses get backed up. And we had that happen a few weeks ago where we didn't have problems with our buses, but we had problems with traffic and other cars stalling out in the snow. And we got stuck behind them. And we didn't get buses closed out till 6 o'clock. I always keep a few staff members and myself. We always wait till the last bus comes in so that I know all my kids are home and they're safe and I don't worry about it. And then I go home and a few of the staff members stay with me in case there's an emergency so that we cover it, you know, make sure our kids are okay. But the reason I did the early dismissal is because I did not want, don't tease me about this, but I didn't want our babies, all right, on the road, and I consider them my babies too. I didn't want them on the road in a possible snowstorm that I could not control what was happening with those buses. And so I decided that the best thing to do was to close down early and not have that problem, get my staff and my students off the road. I don't do it lightly. I know it creates problems for people in their jobs and their family life. I know it creates a lot of different issues, but the first thing I have to consider is the safety for everybody. And buses are pretty good, and our drivers are really good, but you have to consider the safety of the kids first. I take it very seriously. I'm up at 4 in the mornings most days now to look at that weather going on, and I stay up late to watch the late report. I say this not to, look for concern from all of you. That's my job. But I just want you to know that I do my due diligence in making these decisions. We take our time doing it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Any comments regarding this topic from any of the board members?
Well, not particularly the weather closings, but while we're in the organization portion of the agenda, something Mrs. McLaughlin had said, for a comment. When we did the oath earlier, the four of us, the new board members, I didn't realize that it was in front of us. And when Mrs. McLaughlin was speaking, I noticed it. And the oath has the option to include the words, "So help me God," at the end of the oath. And I didn't realize that when we did the oath. So I wanted to amend my oath to include the words, "So help me God," for the constitutional oath and the qualifications oath, because we all need a little help including the oath. Me special.
Any other comments?